Welcome, Heartfelt Seekers, to Practicing Life podcast with me, your host, Ashley Pitzer. I'm an Amazon best-selling fantasy author, NLP life coach, and a professional hypnotist. In this podcast, you will learn the neuroscience of how your brain works and receive esoteric teachings to improve the relationship you have with yourself. So, if you are ready to grow and evolve from your life lessons, then stay tuned, because I am here to support, lift up, and educate heartfelt seekers like you so that you can turn your life into the magical world you thought was only possible in fantasy. Welcome to Practicing Life podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Pitzer. Have you ever been blamed for something that you 100% have no control of, but you still take responsibility and accountability for it? Here's the thing. I help heart-centered people, the givers out there, the people that are sensitive, the people that are empaths, right? And they are known to feel responsible for others people's emotions and a lack of ability to regulate those emotions. And the reason they take responsibility is because they're so sensitive to energy and to the emotions of others, and they often have had certain experiences in their childhood that contribute to this factor, but they can't distinguish another person's emotions from theirs. So when someone is upset, that energy is just like transmuted as if it's in their own body. But let's get to this, because today's episode is on blaming others. So blaming others is manipulation. It is a form of emotional manipulation. And I definitely have helped people with this. And I see a lot of things as a coach, someone who helps people with their relationship with themselves, not as the couple relationship. I am not a certified counselor. I'm not a licensed counselor, none of that stuff. But as someone who can just help you understand you and help you navigate life differently so that you can have better outcomes for yourself and a better quality of life, that is something I can do for you. So blaming others happens for several reasons. And I'm taking this from the standpoint of working with my clients, but let's look at it from the perspective of the person blaming. The reason that they blame, there's lots of reasons out there, but I'm going to just pinpoint a couple of things that I see very common, very typical behaviors. One, it allows them to escape from responsibility and accountability, which means they don't have to change anything. It goes all on your shoulders. It goes all on you. And then you have to run around like a chicken with their head cut off trying to fix these things that you can't fix. And the problem just continues. The cycle just happens over and over, and you end up apologizing or doing something along that lines of promising to do better when you have nothing that you can actually do. So it allows them to escape responsibility. They don't have to change anything. It allows them to continue their behavior and avoid the pain and the negative feelings. So they're just like you. Human beings have emotions. You know, sometimes we don't want to feel them. They're very, very yucky. And one of the ways that they can avoid feeling that yuckiness is to transfer the responsibility over to you by making you feel guilty, by putting the blame on you. It also protects their ego. Okay, so they can continue to think, well, oh, I'm the one in the right. Like, I'm always right. I'm the one who's like missing out, and oh, poor me. Like, this is all for their ego. Like, oh, poor me. I'm with somebody who just can't help me. Like, they're just not man enough. They're just not strong enough, whatever it may be, right? So it protects their ego. And then another reason, it's just easier. Like, all of these, you can see all of these reasons are very common. They're all like a weaved basket. It's like you can't hardly even separate one, because they all come together as like a little basket, like a little weaved story, and they're all intertwined. So it is easier for them to neglect their own emotions, and they don't have to manage their thoughts then. It is so much easier. It's just like when you're a child and you mess up and your parents, like they may say, oh, you know, this was wrong. You shouldn't have done this. And you might feel really crappy, but then they take care of everything for you, right? It's kind of the same concept. As long as, you know, they can put some distance between their negative emotions and cause you to be responsible for it, then they don't have to regulate their emotions and they don't have to manage their thoughts. And that's a lot easier. I mean, you can see this on TV shows, talk shows, like Jerry Springer or some of these, you know, Dr. Phil shows where, you know, Dr. Phil is really good about this. He's always about making it about you. And that's kind of the standpoint I go to as when I'm working with somebody. I don't focus on their partner. I focus on you because you are the only person who can change you. Okay. So anything that you're doing to use emotions, to use guilt, to transfer responsibilities that are yours to somebody else is therefore controlling, manipulative, whether it's emotional or whatever it may be. So heart-centered people, again, they feel responsible for other people's emotions because they haven't really sat down and distinguished what they're responsible and what they're not responsible for. They haven't sat down and looked at, is this emotion coming from within me or was this put on me? And, you know, often they've had certain experiences in their childhood where this is just such a pattern in their life that they've never had to set back and reflect on it and put distance between it and look at it from an unemotional standpoint. Often people who have like these kind of relationships where they're blamed for everything had parents that blamed them for everything. You know, like for instance, like parents who maybe with their child blamed them for their money circumstances. Like, you're so expensive. Like, all you do is ask and ask and ask. And, you know, you're not even grateful, right? So parents have a way of training children to start taking responsibility for their parents' emotions. And then that starts at such a young age that as you get into an adult, you're no longer like it's unconscious. You're no longer aware of the fact that you're continuing this behavior. You just keep doing it. It's just a way of life for you. This is where I really want to be able to help you. But let's stick to this because I am going to help you as much as I possibly can through this free podcast and helping you to have awareness, because awareness is where change starts. It really, really, it's like super challenging to create a change without some type of awareness associated with it. So this is for you. This is the beginning of your journey or the continuation of your journey. If you're here, you're here for a reason, and this information resonates with you. And so let's talk about the heart-centered people. Again, taking on responsibilities that are not their responsibility, but it seems like it is, because you've been trained to think this way and to feel this way. And they often see the mistake as their own. And so the partner and the heart-centered person is like a give and take relationship. They're like two puzzle pieces that come together. So that's one of the reasons they attract each other, right? The two puzzle pieces really fit together. The heart-centered person, the person who's sensitive, is often a giver. And the person who is the taker needs a giver because they want to take and they want to dictate and they want to tell you how to think and they want to tell you how to dress and they want to tell you who to be, right? These two people kind of go together, unfortunately, but through work, through shadow work, inner work, whatever it may be, you can break this cycle. You can break having these types of relationships and really start to stand in your own. Now, what happens if this is not fixed? Which, by the way, most of the time, the person that is putting the blame, all of this comes down to their insecurities that they can't deal with. They can't emotionally regulate. So, and it can be over anything. They can blame you for, you know, miscommunicating, for not meeting their expectations, for not, you know, doing the household chores that they think that you should be doing, for not supporting them enough, not loving them enough, right? These are so many ways that they can place blame on you. You know, like you're not man enough, you're not stepping up enough, you're not contributing enough. And all of these things, like, let's just take a side note here. All of these things can be completely valid. But just like in tango, it takes two to dance. You need both partners. It's not one person who's going to be solely 100% responsible for everything. So let me give you a for instance. If your partner wants to lose weight and you are wanting to be supportive of them, but during a really, really low moment, you may suggest, like, hey, let's go out to eat. Let's go for Chinese, right? A hugely carb salt meal. And your partner says, yes, let's do it. That's great, you know? And then you go to the restaurant and you eat, or you take it home and you eat it. And then the next day, that person who agreed to go is all of a sudden like, you don't love me. You didn't support me. You know I'm trying to lose weight. And then you like take me out to eat. Like, that's not helping me at all. But they're not in this situation. They're not taking any responsibility or accountability for what they have done, because a gun wasn't held to their head. Nobody forced them to go out to eat. They made a choice. Now, some of you might argue, well, the choice was made during an emotional low point. Like, how can you blame them? Like, it was something tantalizing. If that person is committed to what they really, really want, then they will need to learn how to work through doing what is best for them, even in the low points. So this is where you start to get a codependency relationship. So when I'm at my lowest, I still have to be responsible for the choices that I make. And if I'm not responsible and I put that on my husband, then I no longer am responsible, which means I no longer am taking any type of control or accountability for my actions, and I'm always going to be subject to somebody else. So if I don't learn the lesson to say no, let's say the food example, to say no when I'm at my lowest point and somebody offers me cake, then my patterns will continue, because guess what? My husband isn't going to be with me when I'm out with my girlfriends on a night out. They're not going to be with me when I'm at, you know, work parties. They're not going to be with me 24/7. They're not my freaking parents. And I'm not 5 years old anymore. Like, that's the type of mentality I'm talking about. You have to learn to be responsible for you and the choices that you make, because nobody is forcing you to make these choices. Was it convenient to say yes to the cake when you feel low? Absolutely. Did it give you some type of mental reward and instant gratification at that moment? Yes. Did it help you long term? No. So what in that type of situation, what can happen is the caregiver, the person who's heart-centered, can step back and be like, hey, you know what? I can acknowledge that I wasn't supportive of your overall goal. I was just helping you in this moment. If you don't want the cake, if you don't want to go out to eat, whatever it is, then, you know, yeah, please tell me no. We'll do something else. We can think of a different solution together. So this is where communication comes in. But when it's not fixed and you have that partner who continues to blame you and you continue to take responsibility for their action, what ends up happening is communication breaks down. Often this is when you start to see a relationship where one partner is almost like coward. They're like submissive in a way. They are constantly on alert. Their brain is constantly scanning for like danger within their own relationship, danger of getting yelled at or blamed at something, because that doesn't feel good to them either. So they have this communication breakdown. They're no longer talking about things because they just have this like head down. I'm going to get blamed for this. Like, why try? Like, they have this kind of mentality. There's often resentment that builds up over time. And they may even get a little bit of rebellious and kind of fight back at a certain point. Everyone is different. So there's different types of reactions that they can have during that resentment stage. Some people can go into complete cold shoulder. Some people can go into like pushback. There's often emotional distancing, which means there's going to be low intimacy. That also means that there's going to be a breakdown of trust, and trust on both party sides, because the person who is blaming you is going to have this lack of trust that you can be there, that you can handle it, that you can step up, whatever their story may be. And then you're going to have a lack of trust in your own self. You're going to start to doubt your own abilities. You're going to have this so much lack of self-trust, and you're going to just feel like there's this no-win situation. It's a lose-lose situation. And that just breaks down your trust and your self-identity even more. And you just get more apologetic and more promising that you'll do better. Meanwhile, you just want to freaking escape from this because this is not pleasant. And so just like your partner is avoiding being emotionally responsible and taking responsibility for the decisions that they're making or not making, and they get into an avoidance of feeling these feelings and blame you for something, down the line, you do the same thing. You get into avoidance as well. Maybe that's avoiding your partner, avoiding a fight, avoiding conflict, avoiding feeling. I even noticed myself do this the other day. My husband and I have worked on so many things, but patterns are there for a reason, and they can come up even in the smallest ways. And that's okay. It's okay that patterns pop up again. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to go down the rabbit hole of, I thought I was better than this. I thought I was over this. All of that is a waste. It's just acknowledge it, learn from it, and move on. So for me, I even noticed this in my relationship the other day. My husband and I, we are building a home, and we were discussing whether or not we wanted to spend money to have the shower, you know, updated. So we were discussing what options we wanted to do. And so from my husband's standpoint, he's getting into two different sides of fear. Like if he does the work himself, fear that he won't be able to figure out this new PEX plumbing system. And then on the other side of it, if we say no and he has to do the work. And if he says yes, he's getting into fear about how much this is even going to cost. Meanwhile, right, I am over on a different side of this plane in the conversation, and I think differently. So originally I was thinking, well, I want to get what I really want, and so I want him to do it. And then when I realized it was stressing him out and he was having anxiety, I switched over to, well, let's just let them do it. But then that triggered his fear of how much is this going to cost, right? So both people are going through different experiences, and we're both showing up wanting to love and support each other. But it doesn't matter if we still have the right intentions and the right attitudes. You can still have those like miscommunications. And so we were having a moment where I realized like he was getting frustrated because he really wants to make me happy, but he also needed to work through his mental issues. And then I was getting into, without even realizing it, by the way, I just want to avoid a fight down the road. So what decision do we need to make right now? So I was getting into avoidance and he was avoiding feeling the pain of fear, right? So this is very common stuff to do. And once I stepped back and realized what we were doing and I could acknowledge it for the both of us, then I was like, oh, okay, now we can communicate without the emotions, with understanding, with compassion, and we can make a decision. That's who we are today. Now, if you would have looked at us like 4 years ago, that could have been a fight that left with a lot of resentment, hurt feelings, frustration, distancing, cold shouldering, right? Those were some of the things that existed in my marriage. So this work is possible. It can help both of you out. I'm here to help, specifically you. But I want to talk about, so we've talked about what it is, why it happens, what happens internally to both parties, essentially. And then we've talked about what happens if you don't fix it. And so the only fix to this, honestly, is two part. The easy part for me to tell you is that your partner, whoever you're with, needs to take responsibility for how they are showing up, how they are reacting, the choices that they're making. Take responsibility for making a choice differently in the future, those kind of things. That's them, right? That's a lot easier because that's on them. Let's talk about you. For you, your work is going to be one, communication needs to happen internally within yourself, externally with your partner. So the first place I would ask you to start off with is one, de-escalate feelings. So maybe you need to just put this aside for a day or do some breathing exercises, go work out, journal, whatever it is. Don't ruminate on the problem. Just stop thinking about the problem. Take a break from it. You know, like, so once you have done that and you've kind of separated from the emotions of it and stopped thinking about it, then that's when you get to be curious and you get to start having compassion for your partner. And this is exactly the example I gave you with my husband and I. Right? I realized that we were both getting escalated, even though we had good intentions. You know, I was able to step back, take a break, look at this without my emotions involved. I was curious about what was going on. I journaled. That's what works for me. I'm a writer, so I love to journal. So I journaled. I took the time to kind of process my feelings. I took the time to step back and reflect on what I had observed during our conversations when things kind of seemed like they were going downhill. Right. I put all of these things together. I was curious about it. I had compassion for my husband. I didn't look at it from blaming him. I didn't look at it from he's being mean or he's a jerk. I just looked at it from I know he loves me and I know that he wants the best for me. So when I look at it from that standpoint, what am I really observing? Right. So de-escalate your emotions, take a break from it. Two, be curious, have compassion. Three, this is now you've had time to reflect on it. You kind of have a better understanding, a third perspective, if you will, because you had your initial perspective, your projected perspective of what your spouse was. And now you have this like third perspective. So now your third point is to decide your boundaries. So this is where you probably need a coach's help or some type of counseling or something, because for many of my heart-centered, you know, loving people that are givers that just want to love or whatever they may feel, they sometimes are not the best with setting boundaries. And if you were like me, at one point I didn't have any boundaries, which allowed anybody to try to walk all over me because I was just so willing to help you and to love you, you know? So this is step three, is decide your boundaries. And this is my firm warning to you. The whole point of this podcast right now, write it down, re-listen to it, whatever you need to do. I'm saying this firmly. Only take responsibility for what you have control over. You do not have control over your spouse, how your spouse thinks about you, how your spouse reacts, or your partner. You have no control over their decisions. What you have control over is what your feet and hands and thoughts can do. That is it. Only take responsibility for those things. The fourth point, which may cause some discomfort in the short term, but it's much better to deal with it with clarity and kindness, is to speak those boundaries to your partner. And again, this is not about controlling. This is not about dictating to another person. This is about you. These are I statements. So I am willing to take responsibility for the fact that I offered to take you out to dinner. Next time, I will not do that. But if it comes to being blamed for something later down the line, I will not take responsibility for this. I will tell you that I love you and that I am going to go out with my friends or on a walk or whatever it is. It's your boundaries. So this is like infinite possibilities here. So it's only about what you will do. Nothing to do with them. You are communicating what you will do next time. So I've seen this like another example, right? So my teenager, if I am not around, I know I'm just giving you a story for example to help make this more concrete in your mind. And teenagers don't always respect boundaries because they're still learning and figuring things out. It's quite normal. And then you get to reinforce those boundaries as a parent all the time. But anyway, my teenager, if I'm not around, if I'm at work or out of the house or doing something, he loves to eat in my bed. I do not appreciate this. I do not like breadcrumbs on my floor. I do not like the fact that he leaves dishes in my room, whatever it may be. So, right, I can tell him, hey, I want you to eat food downstairs. If I see that you're eating food in my room, I will X, Y, Z. So like in my case, like I was like, I will no longer buy you these chips. I will no longer buy this. I will no longer be willing to take you on, he loves to do car rides where he just listens to music, right? Because I'm setting up my boundary. So I can only control me. I can't stop him. I can't stop him from coming into my room because I have no control over a child that is over the age of 12, 13 years old, right? You think you do, but you really don't. And if you're going to try to have control over them, there's other podcasts for you on parenting. I would definitely direct you that way. But I operate from the standpoint that this is an independent person. Once they get into adolescence and they can think for themselves, I no longer can control them. But what I can do is I can set up my boundaries of what I will do and what I will tolerate, what I won't tolerate. And if they do something that violates my boundaries, I can let them know what I'm going to do in exchange of that. And they have that expectation. So then the fifth point is to keep your word to yourself. So there's a couple of things that might be sticky and difficult or uncomfortable to you if you've never practiced these things. But the more you practice them, the easier it will get and the more comfortable you will get and the better you are going to feel and most likely the better your relationship is going to be with your other person. Now, if that other person doesn't respond well to the boundaries, that this creates a huge gap for you, again, these are choices that you have to make in your relationship. What are you willing to tolerate? Are you going to continue to tolerate being blamed for things that you don't have control over? You know, it is nothing that you can do sometimes for your other partner. There's sometimes you just have to split and go different ways. And that doesn't mean that it's permanent, even though it can be scary and it can cause people to get into abandonment fears and things like that. But sometimes, like in my instance, you guys know, I've talked about our marriage. I left my husband and I asked for divorce. We spent months away from each other. And that was what he needed in order to decide for himself that he wanted to change. So I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen for you. because there's infinite possibilities, 100% possibility, 100% of the time, like anything can happen. But the point is you have your relationship with you for the rest of your life. And if you don't have your back, and if you aren't showing up in a loving and supportive way for you, you're just teaching other people how they can treat you. And how to treat you doesn't always feel good to be blamed. So it means that for you, if you want something different, you have to do something differently. Now, let me repeat these last things. I'll wrap this up for you. One, let your emotions de-escalate. Two, be curious, have compassion. So be curious about the situation, the disagreement, the fight, whatever it is. Have compassion for your partner. Consider it from their perspective with compassion. Get that third eye point of view. Three, decide your boundaries, what you are going to do. Communicate those boundaries. And then five is keep your word to yourself. If any of those things are things that you struggle with, or you want help knowing you better and having that relationship with you, if you want that accountability type of partner, I am that type of coach. I help you with your relationship with yourself, improving that relationship, just to have that better quality of life, to get different results, those kind of things. So I am sending you so much love, and you matter. Thank you for staying with me to the end of the podcast. My intention is for you to receive valuable content that leads you to create the life you desire. I certainly love sharing my gifts with you. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with your friends and loved ones if you found value in it? Also, it would be so helpful if you could leave a 5-star review on Apple. I would greatly appreciate it. If you would like to be interviewed on this podcast, if you have a topic that you would like me to cover, or if you would like to work one-on-one with me, then DM me on my socials. Everything you need to find me is in the show notes. Make it a great day.